whispered in the windy city, the gypsy boy and I. We slept on the breeze in the midnight, with the rain dropping tears in our eyes. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. We huddled in the derelict building.
Curious newcomers to Earth Harmony Divination. Today is Friday, April 18th, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. I will be hosting this show every second and fourth Friday of the month. As I do it at the beginning of each show, I would like to give you a brief outline of what you can expect from my show. My mission statement is simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, abundance, and gratitude at all times. Be ethical and use intuition, not fear. As we are at the dawn of the spiritual age, more precisely on the fifth night of the Mayan calendar, in this year of 2008, of the Age of Ethics, or the Galactic Age, our focus is zooming in on the ethics from the Age of Powers to ethical power, integrity, and intuition. Everything we do, think, say, create must have the qualifier, ethics. It must pass the ethics test, and it has to be based on intuition. On today's show, I will be interviewing a good friend, Ben Missler, inventor, alternative energy expert, who has designed a nationwide self-powered transportation system utilizing an innovative rapid tram design suspended above existing freeways that move people, cars, and freight between cities and states at 250 to 300 miles per hour along a highway in the sky. Before we start the interview, I would like to encourage you to call in any time. We invite your questions, concerns, and feedback. As always, any thoughts and insights on the current topic or any past subjects discussed on Earth Harmony before. Due to technical difficulties, you may not be able to access the link that I am showing on my website here on BBS Radio to Ben's website, which is the highwayinthesky.us. So you may want to link to an older website of his, and that is www.masstramam.com. You may be able to visit there for now until the new site should be up in a few hours. For more information about me, please visit my website, www.redlotus.org, or you can always shoot me an email to elizabeth@redlotus.org. I will try my best to take as many calls and questions either on the air, or you can always email me. Again, my email address is elizabeth@redlotus.org. Now that you may be able to find me again and find out about me, let us begin with the abundance intent, which I do in the beginning of every show. Let us take a very deep, long breath, focus on our third eye, and here comes the abundance intent. I focus on the Holy Spirit within, or higher self, God self, God, you fill in the blank, as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, health, career affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without. So it is. Thank you. And so we can go forward with our interview. As I mentioned, I will be interviewing a good friend of mine, Ben Missler, who has been working on an amazing new innovative transportation system called Mass Tram America. And he created a company called Mass Tram America Incorporated that has designed a nationwide transportation system utilizing a rapid tram design. It's suspended above our existing freeways. It's a high above. And so I welcome Ben. Hello there.
Hello.
How are you, Ben?
Pretty good this morning.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we wanted to find out a little bit about what motivated you to come up with the idea to bring such an amazing project, such an amazing invention into existence. What was it that you feel we should have instead of what we have right now?
Well, as a former Boeing employee, I used to work in the development center where they were building the SST, and then when they let out about 3,000 or 4,000 people all at the same time, it got very, very crowded, and you know, the traffic jam even at that time was very, very substantial. So I always thought there had to be a better system, you know, to deal with this traffic situation. So I guess it all started back then, but about, you know, 5 years or so ago, I really come up with a bunch of different ideas on connecting the alternative energy and you know, since I was familiar with airplanes and manufacturing and solar and everything, I sort of come up with the ideas to put all the pieces together. And so that's about what I did here about 5-6 years ago. I entered a contest that NASA had and Everett Design Technologies and Creating the Future, and one of the categories they had was transportation. And so I guess that's how I sort of got into it, and so I've been perfecting the system ever since.
So currently, in current years and months, many state municipalities such as California and even countries such as Germany tried and failed to realize an efficient alternative mass transport system mainly because of cost. Of course, the initial cost is tremendous. And so what you're proposing here is a very inexpensive initiative. So can you explain why that would be and how you imagine the cost being so low?
Yes. Okay, well, first of all, we'll be using existing right-of-ways. We'll be using the freeways since they're already in. The infrastructure's already in there. And we'll be using some of the state highways. And the only footprint that we have is to put a tower in the center, or, you know, if there is not a place in the center, that we could do it on the sides of the road as like an arch type thing. And so then what that does is that we don't have to tear any other real estate out or buy any other real estate, since it's already public property anyways. You know, the freeways and the roads belong to the people of the United States, you know, so. So, you know, we don't really have to buy any new real estate or take any other real estate off of the tax rolls. Then the other thing is the cars that we're going to be using right now will just happen to work out to be exactly what we're looking for, and that's the decommissioned airlines that the airlines are can't use anymore, because after so many times they're in the air, they're pressurized and they don't allow them to fly anymore. So the only other alternative they can use is just scrap them out. So we're practically buying the things for scrap price. So, and most of the stuff is in there since they are airline, you know, ready for passengers. So all we have to do is convert, take some of the things off that we don't need, and then add our power system to it. Our power system is pretty much developed. The motors are all off the shelf. We can buy them. They're regenerative braking motors. The batteries are becoming very advanced. There's some new batteries that can be charged within, you know, 5 minutes, and some are coming out within 1 minute. And then, of course, back up hydrogen fuel cells. So this system already exists, so it's just a matter of adapting this to a rail system. We'll only use one rail system. It'll be suspended by a cable suspension system, and that's a very, you know, cheap way to conduct a highway. We could even go over rivers, and the span could be, you know, pretty long, and so we only have to put like 5 towers every mile or so, or even longer in some cases. So the cost is going to be much, you know, lower on all those things. We could probably do it for, you know, probably 20% of what it costs any of these current systems.
Yeah, so you mentioned that basically this is meeting the clean power requirements that we're all headed for in the future with alternative energy sources, such as you're mentioning a hybrid, combination of a hybrid energy source. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, all of the towers that we have will have either wind turbines or photovoltaic cells on them. And this will be plenty of power. There will be stored at our transfer station where people unload and load. And we can send this power, the excess power, back into the grid since we are going to have excess power. And this would be another income, you know, for the company. And of course, the transfer stations and stuff will all have photovoltaic cells on them or wind turbines, depending on the area. And that'll be additional income, you know, again, to the company. And there'll be parking on the transfer stations. And so there'll be additional income in restaurants and other facilities there at the transfer stations. And so the thing is that we can probably pretty much develop this as a private enterprise as far as financing and return on investment. So in addition to the passenger and freight and other things that we'll be able to transport, there'll be plenty of income there to carry the overhead.
Well, that's what one of your great ideas is you want to build this completely off the shelf with private funding, and your idea is to bring as many people onto the table as possible. You can invest as little as $1,000 per person, or even buy a ticket, a lifetime ticket that you're featuring on your website. That would only come to about 42 cents per passenger for a lifetime. Can you tell us about what that idea is about?
Yeah, what we're doing is we're giving in order to accelerate things and to help a little bit on the financing, we're asking, you know, for people for a $100 donation towards a lifetime ticket. This is a limited time, so they would have a limited number of these tickets, so that when they get a ticket, they could just ride it. Like some of the in Europe over there, they have like a passive like this here, and it'd be similar to that, but this would be a lifetime one for a limited number of tickets. And the cost on this is going to be a lot less than what it is on any other transportation system.
Yeah, so people who are interested, they can visit your website, www.thehighwayinthesky.us. Again, that's thehighwayinthesky.us. And if you click on Reserve Your Ticket for Life, they can fill out the form there and, invest. This is sort of like a Microsoft-like opportunity, business investment opportunity, that may not come around very often. We are so sure that this project will get started and it will be realized. Folks, this is not a utopia. It is, the future is now. This can be realized with very, very little investment. And so Ben is seeking private investments. Of course, any amount can be invested. If you want to become a private investor in this project, please feel free to contact him at info@thehighwayinthesky.us. You can also shoot an email to me, elizabeth@redlotus.org, or call my number. We can tell you more about it or send you a business proposal booklet that you can read up on this project. So as far as the widespread building opportunity of this project, then you're talking about city to city, nationwide, even worldwide possibility for this mass tram system to be built, you can go at a slow pace, let's say in local areas, or you can go in a high-speed express kind of way between cities or between long distances. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. What we're planning to do is build a system like the freeway system would build. Once we have the template built on a certain area, then this could be duplicated at the same time all across the United States, and then it could be connected within a very short period of time. I think we're projecting like within 5 years we'll have a line on the East Coast and the West Coast, and then within 10 years we should have the whole thing pretty well completed if we go on a real fast project. I might give you some examples of where we're going. See, a lot of the infrastructure that the planning has been done before. As a matter of fact, in California, they want to put a ballot on for a fast rail system there. However, they've been working on this for quite a number of years. They have the route all lined up and most of the easements and things, you know, sort of figured out. But the cost on this thing, they said it was about $37 billion. And any alternative would be about $80 billion. And then the state is in a deficit of $16 billion. So there's just no way that they can possibly come up with the money. And our system, we figure from San Diego, which is a 700-mile route, to San Francisco, what they're figuring at $37 billion, we could build it for less than $10 billion and probably be financed by a private company, like even Warren Buffett could even finance the whole thing and get a good return on his money. And the maglev system, which, you know, was invented over in Germany, it's sort of a magnetic type levitation rail system. They invented it in Germany, but they hadn't built one yet, but they started building, and after the cost of doubling on it, they decided just here in the last few weeks here to cancel because they just cannot afford to build it. There are a number of reasons why, but, you know, we don't have to go into those right now. But anyways, everything seems to be leading to our type of system, and this can be done very, very rapidly since, you know, a lot of the groundwork has been laid. So.
And the beauty of it is that you are using alternative energy source. We don't have to go into utilizing even more electricity, and we won't have to be taking up more room on our freeways. It's all up high above, and it will be clean and efficiently run because the energy is constantly replaced, correct?
That's right. And then also there are government mandates that the utilities have to have so much of their power generated by wind and by alternative energy. And like in California, they have to generate 33% of their electric power by wind by, I think it's 2020. And so we would be able to help in that percentage of what they're doing. So it's a win-win situation. And there's a lot of advancements in wind turbines. As a matter of fact, we have one that we're working with that is a vertical wind turbine, which is a very attractive one, and it actually has the photovoltaic panels on the wind turbine itself. And so that increases efficiency by 30%. And then the panels are coming down where there's a new company that's just starting making panels that it's a quarter of what they've been costing. So the price on photovoltaic panels and wind turbines are coming down, and the efficiency is going up. So we're in a win-win situation. Even our tram cars will have photovoltaic panels on them, and they're very economical now. And by the time we get these, you know, developed, the price should be very reasonable.
Ben, we hear it in the news all the time how our country is in an economic crisis. Not only the economy is in a huge crisis, but our transportation systems are in a huge crisis. We have an airline industry that constantly is getting bailed out with government welfare money, and it's shrinking down to perhaps just we're going to end up with just a few airlines operating at inefficient ways, using up huge amounts of fossil fuel, not to mention time delays and problematic situations for the passengers. I mean, it is the most, one of the most timely projects that we could even imagine having right now. How timely is this in your view?
Well, it's very timely because you know, if you look at any of the road systems, you know, our system in the United States is not to replace any of the existing systems. It's to make them more efficient so that they can operate. See, if we take 20% of the traffic off of the freeways, they'll be able to operate a little bit much better. And the same thing with the airlines, the congestion at the airport. So there needs to be a new system. The, you know, the freeways are at capacity. The airlines are at capacity. And so there just needs to be another system, and this is kind of the link in between the freeways and the airline traffic. The railroads are pretty much outdated. They're back in the 1800s. We need to get in the 21st century, and the railroads would be too costly, and they have to go through all the traffic hazards that create traffic congestion. So there just needs to be a system in between, and this is what we have, and it's the best system that we've been able to come up with, and you know, they're both economical and being environmentally sound. So
this project could give our economy a huge boost, as we have labor markets right now kind of stagnating since jobs are being outsourced. So this could definitely bring back our economy to a better level. It would create tremendous amount of jobs and land use planning at a low cost. I mean, we could be building this all over the place, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And these are high-paying jobs. There'd be a lot of jobs, a lot of construction jobs. There would be a lot of union jobs. We put people back to work clean across the country in a new, nice, viable system, and to make it so much more convenient, so much more economical. As for example, you could be, the farmers down in California could be loading their vegetables on our tram system, and then they could be eating them here in Portland and even the other restaurant. You know, it'd be that efficient and at very low cost. And So then the other thing is that this would be a city-to-city, you know, like if you're trying to fly in the airlines now, it takes you some smaller cities, it takes you several hours, or you have to find some other transportation to get to the airport, then you got to wait two hours at the airport to get checked in, and so you waste a lot of time, a lot of efficiency there, where we would be able to connect with all of the cities, every one of them. And so, you know, just a much more modern system, you know, to bring us into the 21st century.
Again, we're talking to Ben Missler, who is the inventor and currently owning the company Mastram America, if you're just tuning in. And we're talking about this amazing transportation system that will be, just imagine it's running at airplane speed. And you will have luxury seating. You can travel with your car on this system or without your car. We can use this for passenger travel or for freight travel. Tell us about that.
Yes. Of course, a lot of the American public, they don't want to give up their car. That's been one of the problems with some of the other transportation systems. But with our system here, they'll be able to drive right in. There'll be certain tram cars that will have access where you can drive right into them, and you can take your car with you. A lot of times, the accidents that are caused are by people falling asleep or some problem on the on the highway. Where this way, it'd be a safe way for them to get to their next destination. You know, and while they're while they're when they park the car in the tram, they can go and eat lunch or work on their computer or do some homework or whatever. And then when they get to their destination, they can just drive off of it and then have their car with them and do the same thing to get back. And so,
but you're estimating that the speed of these trains could get up as high as 250 to 300 miles per hour, which is just as fast as an airplane, and yet you're basically traveling on a cable system. And there will be towers. Now, these towers are placed at so many distances apart on various public land, correct?
Yes, right. And there'll be some private land, too, if there isn't existing routes. And a lot of the farmers, like with the wind turbines, they're willing to to lease their land to them, and doesn't change their farming very much at all. They can still do what they've been doing and still get a good income from it. And even in some resorts and stuff like that, it could go right through the different areas there. And so it could be some private land, you know, in addition to the public land, you know. And so the scenery, you know, they have a fantastic view. Can you imagine going up and down the coast in one of these, and all the fantastic scenery that you could see?
That's
unobstructed,
right.
And in comfort.
Yeah.
So.
And you're high above the traffic below. You only see the beauty of the country rather than your car next to you.
Everything they'll be designed very attractive, so there won't be an eyesore like some of these other light rail systems and you know where it kind of ruins the view. And these systems here will be very attractive and different design. Each one of the transfer centers will be sort of the core of where it goes through. You know, like if it goes through Wyoming, there'll be like a cowboy-type atmosphere in some of them, and each one will be a little different type of restaurant and decor. So, but they're all be basically designed the same, so you can just park your car, charge it up with electricity. Each one of the stalls where they park will have a plug-in, you know, with the hybrids coming up, electric cars. They'll be able to plug it in and have it charged up while they go and do their business. And, you know, by the time they get back, it'll be, you know, fully charged. And so even on the tram itself, too. So
yes, you talked about how cost-effective it is. And, of course, it creates such a small footprint on our Earth because all we have is the towers and the stations to worry about. And the construction is extremely speedy because of the cable system. And the low fares, because it basically pays for itself, like you said, because it keeps regenerating the energy that it is running on. So this is definitely a high profit margin investment. Tell us about, for those who would like to invest in this project, how do you imagine the different phases of investment possibilities, and what return can they expect on this project?
Well, right now we have some stock available for about $1 a share, and then what we're going to be doing is filing a IPO. When that comes out, that'll be the value. We don't know what that would be, but I'm sure it would be much higher. It depends on how far along we are. And then after that, when it start building and get revenues in, and as soon as the towers are up, they will start generating revenues. We get a built-in source for the electricity. The utilities will buy the electricity as soon as they are up, and so there'll be income coming in right away. And as soon as cars go, or as soon as the transfer stations are built, there'll be leases, for the restaurants and bookstores and rental agencies, and even the airlines could even have a ticket booth there. And so there'll be income coming in just almost as soon as it's built, ready-made income. So it'll be a fantastic return, and then those people who have invested will get dividends, and of course, their stock value would certainly go up.
So what is your vision for the timing of this project? How long do you think would it take to, let's say, build one one local system, let's say, between one city to another?
Well,
like the first project.
Yeah, we're just finishing up the engineering, so that's going to take probably maybe another 6 months to a year or so, and then the prototype could be built right after that. And we have certain locations right now that we're working with and to build the prototype, and then that should be done within 2 to 3 years, and then on a large scale basis, we could start. Probably within 3 to 4 years, start putting in a big site. Like we have one proposed for Las Vegas to Los Angeles. The total cost on that is less than $2 billion, about $1.9. The other systems they're talking about building on are over $6 billion, and, you know, that's just not feasible anymore. So,
what type of system are they proposing?
Pardon?
What type of a system is that?
Well, they were proposing a maglev system down there,
okay.
But since they canceled the one in Germany because of the high cost. See, the maglev system requires, of course, ground. It requires about 1,000 feet clearance on each side, plus the fact that it's just so expensive. Both the cars and the rail system for that is very expensive, and it's just not feasible. I don't think it'll. They tried to build one in Japan there. They built a prototype, and they said unless they can cut the cost in half, nobody could be afford to ride it.
So the magnetic trains.
It looks like it's not going to go anyplace.
Magnetic trains, as we know, that exist in some places, the bullet trains that exist in Europe and even Japan, they've been built with tremendous cost, and as the cost goes up and up each year for material and labor, these projects will have astronomical costs. So that makes it almost impossible to be built. And what you're proposing here is very minimal compared to the cost of those trains. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The when they built these other rail systems, the land cost was very much lower, and then the cost of material, labor, and all this stuff was low. But if they have to try to duplicate the same thing now, it'd probably cost them 4 or 5 times as much as what they did back then. So luckily, the Japanese and the French and some of the European countries had their systems in before, but we don't here. And so now our costs here would be prohibitive, and that's what's happening. And so this is the only way that I see that any kind of a mass transportation system could be built economically.
Okay. And so tell us about the safety factor. You're saying this is probably the most safe system we could imagine because it's even earthquake-proof or disaster-proof, more so than a system that would be running on the ground, correct?
That's correct, yes. If you look at the suspension cable systems from the bridges, like the Golden Gate Bridge has been going on for over 70 years now, and through all the earthquakes and everything, it hasn't had any problems at all. We have a bridge up here. It's been in a suspension bridge, a St. John bridge. It's a suspension cable bridge. It's been there for 75 years. And Coleman Narrows Bridge, they just built another suspension bridge there. So the suspension bridges are built to take earthquakes and shock. And so that is a very stable system. And being that we have two routes, one will be going each way, so there will only be one line. There's no crossing of the trams. They have their own route, and they'll only be stopping and going. And so all you have to worry about is what's in front of you and what's in back of you. You know, so there's no side traffic.
So just like with the train system, right? You don't have to wait for another train to cross or something like that.
Right, or you don't have stoplights or wait for trucks that to go across the road. They get stalled or anything like this here, see?
Yeah.
And we'll have redundant safety systems in it. You know, with new technology right now, everything can be monitored that if anything should happen or anything should be a problem, it would immediately alert. See? And we have redundant, like on our tram system, we'll have 12 12 different motors on each car, and each one of them, if several of them went out, they would still be able to operate. And since they're operated independently with their own power, it doesn't matter if the power system goes out. They're independently powered, and they can always get back to whatever site. And the maintenance on them with electric is probably the lowest of any system. Electrical motors, they just almost, go indefinitely. And so with the modern, with modern technology now, this should be probably the safest thing. The safest, if you're looking at people carrying systems, the safest system in the world is a tram system. The second is monorails. And of course, the third is airlines, although they have delays. But the worst is the cars, traffic. How much is a life worth? I mean, that's another benefit that you can't put a figure on. So anyway.
As far as safety in terms of terrorism or passenger safety. It would be easy to monitor who gets on and off a specific train, correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when they get on, they have to go through two checks. As they first go in before they park the car, if they're going that way, or if they go into an entrance to the parking facility, then they have to go up, and before they get on the tram itself, they'll have to, go through a check. So you get a double check system. And being that it's higher, it's not in a tunnel or anything like that where any terrorist could, in a tunnel, somebody could set up biological devices in there, which would, create a problem for everybody, or if you had any earthquakes in the tunnel, you'd have a real serious problem, and where we eliminate, most of those things, and it'd be nothing is terrorist proof, but it's probably the best system out there, for safety from terrorism.
And you really envision that we would utilize these trains also for a great amount of freight travel, because our trucking system is definitely in crisis too, with the high fuel costs, and it would definitely cut down on the timing of getting goods from one place to another, right?
That's right. Yeah, we could carry a lot of the lighter stuff, could be done much cheaper and faster, and leave some of the real heavier stuff and the bulky stuff to some of the truckers. And so basically what we'd be doing is relieving the pressure on the transportation system, so they'll be able to move along a lot better. They won't have to be stalled in traffic so much and then waste a lot of their energy. And so anyway,
I'm sure FedEx would
can,
love to use
them. Certainly can hold the freight much cheaper.
Exactly. Companies like FedEx would love to use your system, I'm sure.
Yeah, even the post office.
Even the post office, God forbid, yeah. And so you're utilizing recycled material, basically, which keeps the cost down. The power will be recirculating, and you're using solar, wind, hydrogen fuel cells, which regenerates the electric motors, correct?
Yeah, so they'll power the batteries, and then the batteries, of course, will power the motors. In our transfer centers too, there'll be we'll be collecting the rainwater and things like that, recycling a lot as much as we can, and it'll be all environmentally built.
Yeah. Okay.
All the latest in environmental.
And the suspension cables. These rails are obviously very strong. Are they like steel cables, such as the one they're using on bridges?
Yeah, there's even some new with nanotechnologies and stuff like this here. There's even some new cables that are much lighter, and about 10 times as strong. So there's some new things being developed on that too. And as they come into use, we'll be utilizing those.
So they don't have to be constantly painted over like the ones, like the bridges, people constantly have to paint them.
No, there won't be any bridges to paint. These will all be sealed. The cables will all be there won't be any problem with like with the rail system. It'll be hollow in the inside. So it for freezing or anything like this here or rain, you know, it won't be accessible to those type of conditions.
So you have basically your management team in place. You have all the companies that will be your sources for materials and all the supplies are ready to go. And so can you tell us again about the stages of how you're developing Mastram America? What would be your first phase or your first stage?
Okay, we've been through the first phase. We're in the second phase, which is finishing up on all the engineering work. And once we get that set, then we'll be building the prototype. That's phase three. And then that would take, you know, probably a year or so to do that, year and a half, 2 years maybe. And then we'll be ready to actually build a route that, you know, we'll select a route that's probably simple to build first and that would be very economical because we want to hit the needs first, you know, wherever there's the greatest need for the traffic congestion to alleviate that.
So really, your initial cost is incredibly low. I mean, you're only seeking $500,000 for this next phase, correct?
That's right, yes.
Since, why so low?
Well, we have most of the stuff has been done, and then what we will do is contract out with the different companies, and they will be doing a lot of the stuff themselves. It's kind of a similar thing like Boeing does. When Boeing builds an airplane, they get a hold of their suppliers, and their suppliers develop. They say, well, they need this type of part, or so then the suppliers develop, and they pay for that part because they know they're going to get additional orders. See? So this is the same type of situation that we will do. As far as the cars are concerned, we'll be contracting those out to companies. Like there's a bus company that is building a composite bus that will be utilizing the same power system that we're doing. So they already have it developed for the bus system, which is similar to what we have. See, so they have spent the money developing that system, and so all we have to do is adapt it to our system. And the same thing with the composites. You know, we'll have company that will just give them the design. This is what we want, and have them build it for us. See.
That's brilliant, because then really the cost gets pretty much transferred and everyone can kind of join in. That's how you visualize this, right?
So yes, and that'll create a lot of jobs too for those people. It'll keep their company stable and it'll be a win-win situation for everybody.
Which is, you know, the passengers' cost per mile to travel is ridiculously low compared to what we're paying for airline tickets right now, or even if you want to take the train, it's so costly. And of course, using our car for travel is getting more and more costly, as we know. Fossil fuels are getting more costly. So the time is just so crucial right now to get this implemented as soon as possible. So your next phase will be needing a capital of about, what, $15 million?
Yeah, that'd be for the build a prototype. That's what it would take to do that. And then from there on out, I think it could be financed privately through bond issues or, you know, stock or whatever, you know. And, you know, and we hope that people will invest in the company and they'll be able to get a good return, and that should finance a good portion of the, you know, of the development of the tram system.
Because, you know, people you would tell this to, they would think, well, oh gosh, this is just too big a project. It would take forever. It probably would never get put into place with all the bureaucracy and municipalities and permits and whatnot. Your vision is that it will be done privately, with minimal involvement with the government or existing, power companies, et cetera. So it can be quickly started and finished, right?
That's right, and I think as the need arises, you know, the people are going to demand that something be done right away, and I think they're going to have to maybe bend some of the rules or speed them up in order to you know to accelerate these. And I know, for example, like in the gorge here, one of the cities that we've made a presentation to, they said, well, you're never going to get it through the gorge here. That was only from one person that was on the council. But since then, we've noticed that they've approved to put big 300-foot wind turbines on there. And then there's another development that they did. So I think it's, you know, the people are realizing that, you know, for jobs, for economy, and that we have to, you know, we have to all work together and to make this, you know, a viable, you know, project, a feasible project.
Well, definitely it would revitalize our economy because it would put so many different types of businesses and companies and labor to work, and we went into that earlier. Again, I'm talking to Ben Missler, who is the CEO and president of Mass Tram America. He also invented this amazing tram transportation system that is suspended on cable systems, such as the one we see on the Golden Gate Bridge or Brooklyn Bridge, which is one of the most efficient way that we could foresee travel in the near future. Ben, how would you summarize this project of yours? What can people who listen to our show do, and how could they get involved? How would they be able to contribute either financially or just, telling people about it?
Well, first, we check our website. I have to apologize. They're updating the website on the one on the Highway in the Sky. The other one is open, but they can get general information there. And if they'd like a business plan, then just email us or say just tell us where we'd like to send it. And if they would like to invest in a company, they can either buy a lifetime ticket or they could, ask for investment opportunity, and that would accelerate things. And then if they have any other type of financing or any other ideas for grants and local issues or wherever we can get some grants in. And then also get a hold of our congressmen that we need to get them on board. We're starting to talk to them. And as a matter of fact, we met with Patty Murray, and she said, well, one of their first comment was, well, why haven't we seen this before? And so we just need to get the word out, and anybody that wants to get involved and to just get on our mailing list, and we'll keep them updated on the progress, and then this is a people's project because we surely do need this right now, and the sooner the better.
Yes, I like that idea that you want to make this a people's project. You're not just trying to reach out to billionaires who, will get more rich on a project like this, but certainly anyone can get involved and invest as little as they have to put their name on this future project that will be here for many, many generations, for our children and their grandchildren. And so I think that, you captured the vision of the future here, Ben, and you're combining so many wonderful advanced ideas and technologies in this project. You created a project that challenges the traditional way of travel, and of course that may need a little bit of time for people to wrap their minds around, how can this be possible? It is possible, folks, just like it is possible now we will be soon traveling with cars fueled by hydrogen, which is another project of yours, correct?
That's right, yes, uh-huh.
You're working on a hydrogen converter at the moment?
Yeah, there are hydrogen boosters right now that you can put on a car, and it'll increase your mileage by about 25%, but eventually they'll be able to power the whole car. And so that's basically what we'll be using on our tram system, too, as it's being developed. So there's a lot of new things that are coming out, and we need to get in the 21st century, and it's time that we can do it. We, you know, instead of being negative all the time, all the bad news we have, we need something to be positive, lift the spirit of the American people up, and this is something that we could all get behind, and this is a big enough project that it would help us get the economy going and, you know, getting more people working, paying into our tax system.
Yes, I decided to talk to Ben today because I do believe in the self-sustainable future that we're headed for. And instead of sitting in fear and waiting for apocalypse that everybody is preaching about, we have a way out, and there is a progressive movement of great inventors, visionaries, and people who are already ahead of the game. They're waiting for the systems to collapse so we can build a new world around ourselves that thrives and lives in prosperity and abundance. And a transportation system is key to that, because if you don't have adequate transportation, we really can't get anything done or get anywhere. And we don't want to get into that gridlock where, you know, there are no alternatives. And people will be stuck in what they're doing. And there is basically no healthy economy without a healthy transportation system. So I'm very grateful that Ben talked with us today. And I wish him the best of luck, of success, great success with Mass Tram America. And like I said, if you have a hard time finding the highway in the sky, you could visit his older website, which is masstramm.com. That's masstramm, one word, .com. And you could see some of the illustrations that are still in just design phase, but hopefully pretty soon we will see the real thing, right?
That's right. We're working on an animation, and that'll be done here within the month here. So it'll be a detailed animation that will be to exact scale, and then people will be able to see that as it really will be.
So hopefully that will come to YouTube or Google Video.
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube, yes.
So maybe we will do an updated show on this in the future, maybe in a few months' time. Would you agree to that, Ben?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay, super. Thank you so much for talking with us. Have a good day.
You bet.
Again, the website is thehighwayinthesky.us for everyone to visit. Or contact Ben at info@thehighwayinthesky.us. You can also email me, elizabeth@redlotus.org. If you have any questions, I could also forward you a business proposal plan or any more information on Mass Tram America. Thank you so much, Ben.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, dear friends and truth seekers, this is our show for today. And again, I would really like to encourage you to call in future shows, or if you have not been able to listen in live, as I know a lot of you are probably at work or busy, there is always the possibility to listen to all my archive shows. Just go to Earth Harmony Divinations. Under the BBS Radio Station 1 programming. And if you scroll down to my webpage, there is a little link that says Program Archives on the right-hand side corner, and you can just click on any archives and click on MP3 or whatever way you listen to radio shows or sound on your internet, and you can listen to the shows that way. I think there's a small fee that you could become a member of VBS Radio, and you can listen to all the shows of different hosts. We have some wonderful hosts on VBS Radio. Again, my name is Elizabeth Peter, and this is Earth Harmony Divination. I also have shows on which you can call in for free readings, free consultations, anytime. Questions, I always welcome your questions, thoughts, or ideas for new shows. Or if you'd like to be on the show, please contact me by email, elizabeth@redlotus.org. You can also sponsor my show if you'd like to advertise your project, services, or product with Earth Harmony Divination. I welcome those ideas also. And so in closing, let us finally finish up with what I always do, and that is our abundance intent, our closing intent. Let's take a deep breath and ask Spirit to join us of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, health, career affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without. And so it is. Thank you so much for tuning in today to my show. And I wish you all a wonderful month, a wonderful spring, and all the success in the world. Blessed be all. Thank you.
We stood in the windy city, the gypsy boy and I. We slept on the breeze in the midnight, with the rain dropping tears in our eyes. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. We huddled in the derelict building, and when he thought I was asleep, he lay his poor coat round my shoulder and shivered there beside me in a heap. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. We sang and cracked the sky with laughter, our breath turned to mist in the cold. Our years put together counted 30, but our eyes told the dawn that we were old. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun. I stand here singing to the flowers, so very few people really know. And who's going to be to say it was no good what we done? I to say I'm too young, or I'm going to try for the sun. We stood in the windy city, the gypsy boy and I.
We slept on the breeze in the midnight, with the raindrops and tears in our eyes. And who's going to be the one to say it was no good what we done? I dare a man to say I'm too young, for I'm going to try for the sun.